Of course, this class once again is moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. I'm so thankful, as always, for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the entire Royal family. I'm always grateful to him and to his family because of the things that are transpiring in our lives and in our ministry. We thank God for apostolic government. We thank God that the government of God is at work in the earth realm, working in us both to will and to do all of God's good pleasure. So students, get ready. Tonight we're going to be in chapter number 3, which is the gift of prophecy. Remember, this class is moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. So now we will begin this evening with chapter number 3 in your books. The concept of Old Testament prophecy. There are two Hebrew words that are used to describe the function of prophecy. One describes human activity, and the other describes divine activity. The prophetic message is both the words of the prophet and the word of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of the prophets and by all of the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law, which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. I don't think it can get no plainer than that. God's, matter of fact, turn to Amos 3:7. And then I want you to turn to Exodus chapter number 3. I'll tell you what verse when we get there. I'm looking for the verse where God speaks to Moses to speak to Aaron. Then I also want to look at the first two verses in Exodus chapter number 7. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophets. Now turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. Very important. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. That we might do all the words of this law. I hope you see the connection that God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, the things that belong to us. God uses his prophets to make known his heart, his feelings, his will, his emotion, his thoughts. Okay, now turn to Exodus, I believe, chapter 3, and find the verse where God is sending Moses to the children of Israel, but Moses declares to the Lord, I'm not a man of eloquent speech. Exodus 4 and 10, okay. Exodus 4, children. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord. And Moses, now in chapter, you have to understand this passage because God has seen the affliction of the Israelites. And he said, I'm coming down to deliver them because their cry have come to me. Then God tells Moses, I am come down to deliver the children of Israel, but I'm sending you. That's the way God does things. He works through men who he chooses. So in Exodus 4:10, God begins to talk to Moses because Moses declares he's not a man of eloquent speech. So I want you to pay attention to this passage. Go ahead. And Moses said unto the Lord,
O my Lord,
I'm not eloquent,
neither heretofore,
nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant. But I am slow of speech,
and
I'm of a slow tongue.
And the Lord
said unto Moses,
Who
had made man's mouth?
Or
who maketh the dumb,
or deaf,
or the seeing,
or the blind?
Have not I the Lord?
Now therefore go. And I will be with thy mouth.
And notice what God tells Moses, the prophet. I will be with your mouth.
And
I will teach you, Moses,
what
you shall say.
And he said,
and Moses said, O my Lord,
send,
I pray thee,
by the hand of him
whom thou wilt send.
And the
anger of the Lord
was kindled
against Moses.
And he said,
is not Aaron the Levite your brother?
I know
that Aaron your brother can speak well.
And also,
behold,
he cometh
forth to meet thee,
and
when he seeth thee,
he will
be glad in his heart.
And thou shalt speak unto him.
Now pay attention to this, children.
And
thou shalt speak unto Aaron,
and put words in his mouth.
And Moses, you shall put words in his mouth. And Moses, I'm going to be with your mouth.
And with his mouth.
And I'm going to be with his mouth.
And will teach you.
And I will teach you
what you shall do.
What you shall do.
And he shall be thy spokesman.
Now watch this. And Aaron, Moses, the prophet, shall be your spokesman
unto the people.
Unto the people.
And he shall be.
And even he shall be
to thee
instead of a mouth.
And thou shalt be to him.
And thou shalt be to him
instead of God.
Now turn to Exodus 7, 1 and 2, and you'll see why I went through all of this.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
See,
to
notice what God tells Moses. I have made you, Moses, a God to Pharaoh.
And Aaron, thy brother,
shall be your prophet. Moses, you shall speak
all that I command
you.
And Aaron, your brother,
shall speak unto Pharaoh. That he send the children of Israel
out of this land.
All of that was set up so you can understand that the word of the Lord and the word of the prophet is one and the same. God wants to be with our mouths, especially when we move in the gift of prophecy, which is declaring what God had said in a tongue that is known. Go ahead.
The Hebrew word
Naba, human activity,
means to bubble up
and to gush forth
or to pour forth.
It reflects the influence of the Holy Spirit
upon the human personality
and spirit until the message bubbles up
and gushes forth
and pours out of the prophet's lips
like a mighty river.
The anointed message stirs the heart of the man, causing his heart to respond towards God, to express God's feelings, God's thoughts, and God's words. The Hebrew word netav, which means or represents divine activity, means to drop, to fall as drops of rain. It reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God, who is the source of all life. Divine activity sets the motion for human activity. Prophecy is not a product of human deduction or human reasoning. Prophecy is one that starts out within the heart and mind of God. Now let's talk about the process of Old Testament prophecy. First Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Two Old Testament words, Roah and Chozah, both means seer, and they are synonyms for the word prophet. The word seer is descriptive of the receptive function. It refers to man's ability to see into the realm of the spirit or the spirit realm, to hear and to receive God's message. He's able to have access into the realm of the Spirit, to tap into revelation knowledge and the unfolding of God's plans and purposes. The word prophet is descriptive of the communicative function. It refers to man's ability to communicate what God is saying or wants to say to his people. The ability to administrate the word is clarity and wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise use it knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Only after the word is properly delivered does God hold the hearers responsible and accountable. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Man must learn how to tune into proper reception of God's words by training his own spirit to become spiritually sensitive. The concept of New Testament prophecy. Prophetēo means to prophesy. It means to speak for or on the behalf of another, or to be his spokesman or his mouthpiece. Foretelling and forth-telling are part, they are a part of the prophetic flow. Because of this, the misconception of all who prophesy are prophets came into existence. Establishing a workable concept. The New Testament prophet has the ability to hear or to receive directly from God into his spirit and not his mind. He has the ability to discern and to respond rightly the word of God that is received directly into his spirit. And he deciphers that word accurately. He needs to develop the wisdom to communicate the word that's received to the people present.
Definition of New Testament prophecy.
Now let's talk about the definition of New Testament prophecy. The simplest definition of prophecy is to speak on the behalf of God. The divinely inspired and anointed utterance received for the people present. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. So prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and not that of the human mind. Very important. Prophecy is not of the human mind, but it is of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Human will and faith, they are active in prophecy. The human intellect and reasoning, they are not the source of prophecy. Prophecy is important enough to covet. Now remember, the prophecy is one of the mouth gifts, or one of the speaking gifts, or one of the talking gifts. So you have prophecy, which is a divine utterance from God in a known tongue. Then we have the other two speaking gifts, or mouth gifts, which are diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are equivalent to prophecy. Are you listening to me? So that's why the other six gifts flow freely through the prophecy gate, because those three are one. Go ahead.
Prophecy
is the most important of the inspirational vocal gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5.
I would that you all spake with tongues.
Now notice what the Apostle Paul said. I would that you all spake with tongues,
but
I rather that you prophesy.
For greater is
he that prophesieth that then he that speaketh with tongues, or we can say unknown tongues. Go ahead.
Except
he interpret.
That the church may receive edifying.
That the church may receive edifying.
Prophecy
is the doorway
for
all of the other gifts.
It is a medium
through which all the other gifts will flow.
Apostle Paul
challenged us
to earnestly desire
or covet spiritual gifts,
Especially that you may prophesy.
But especially that we may prophesy. The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has been set aside
for the care
and proper employment of the vocal gifts. Now let's talk about the scriptural purposes of prophecy. The function of prophecy is vital to the spiritual growth of both the individual as well as the church. There are five major purposes of prophecy. Number one, to edify the church. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Let's read verses 1 through 5.
Follow after charity.
But notice that, desire spiritual gifts, desire. See, in the church, we've never been taught these things. We are to desire spiritual gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, functioned as a man anointed by God the Holy Spirit. Not only did he function as a man anointed by God the Holy Spirit, but the nine manifestations of the Spirit functioned in his life on a regular, I should say a daily, and a regular basis. He also functioned in the nine fruit of the Spirit. See, there must be a marriage between the ministry gifts, that is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit and his gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, the ministry gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is a trinity that the church must seek after and learn so that we can function in the realm of the Spirit in a greater dimension and in a greater capacity. Go ahead.
Follow after charity.
Desire spiritual gifts.
But rather that you may
prophesy. Now, he's not saying throw away all the other gifts like they're not important. But remember, the prophecy gift is the gateway for all of the other gifts to flow through. Go ahead.
For he that speaketh
in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh divine mysteries or divine secrets.
But he that prophesieth,
he speaketh unto men, unto edification, unto exhortation, and unto comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue only edifies or builds up himself.
But he that prophesied
edifieth the church. See, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify or build up yourself. Remember Jude 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in a language that is unknown to you, but as you pray in an unknown tongue. Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, it is my spirit that's praying. So we could see when we pray in an unknown tongue, it is our spirits praying by the utterance of the Holy Spirit that he's giving directly into our spirits. Are you listening? So we built up our own spiritual muscles, if you want to say. But if I just start speaking in tongues right now, it would not edify any of you that's listening to me. So Paul said, I would rather speak, you know, one word that you can understand than 10,000 words in tongues trying to act like I'm spiritual. It's very important to understand that. See, prophecy is designed to edify the church. So we must move away from just not move away, but we must develop and grow beyond just speaking in unknown tongues. We must pray and ask God for us to interpret that which we are praying in unknown tongues so that the entire church can be edified. Go ahead.
I would that you all
spake with tongues, but I rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. Except he what? Interpret. Go ahead, Sean. That the church may receive edifying.
Prophecy edifies.
Not only the spirit, but also the minds of men. Prophecy is for the building up of the believers, the church.
Number two, to exhort the church.
Prophecy is used as a means of exhorting the church
and
exalting his people.
God is impressing upon us
to arise and to get back into his purposes. His plans, his purposes, and to keep moving forward in them.
Number three.
Prophecy is used as a means to comfort the church.
It causes us to realize
that God is the one that is speaking.
Prophecy also reveals
the nature of the one who is speaking from above.
Number four,
prophecy is to convict and to convince.
Prophecy has a convicting
and a convincing influence upon non-believers and ungifted believers. That is, those that do not have the manifestation of tongues. Prophecy is in the known language of the people present.
They understand its contents,
and therefore they're able to respond to the message that is given. They will be convicted by all the prophecies. They will be called to account by all of the prophecies. That's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. They will fall on their face and they will worship God. Prophecy does not only bring understanding to the mind, but it also brings edification to the spirit. They will acknowledge that God is most certainly present among us, and they will testify to the presence of Jesus in our midst. Number five, that all may learn to prophesy.
1 Corinthians 14:31.
For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. Prophecy opens
a new realm of learning.
There are five important lessons we learn in the process of prophesying. Number one, learning to respond to the inner working and the inner stirring of the Holy Spirit. Number two, learning to become accustomed to the Holy Spirit way of communication. Number three, learning to receive a direct word from the Holy Spirit into our spirit. Number four, learning to discern what we are hearing on the inside of our spirits and minds. 1 John 10 is St. John 10:5. 1 John don't even have 10 children. Amen. St. John 10:5.
And a stranger will they not follow.
And a stranger will they not follow.
But will flee from him.
But they will flee from him.
For they know not the voice.
For they know not the voice of strangers.
And number five.
Learning the excitement and the ecstasy of being open channels for God's use. Well, enjoy your evenings. We'll be glad to meet with you again on next week as we move into the next chapter of moving into the gifts of revelation and prophecy. Enjoy your evenings.